By at this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Now I would like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Kate Brogan.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kate Brogan, and I'm here with Public Affairs at NOAA Fisheries. Today, NOAA Fisheries is declaring an unusual mortality event involving humpback whales along the Atlantic coast. To tell you more about this declaration and how our agency and partners are working to investigate humpback deaths, I have the privilege of introducing you to Mendy Guerin. Mendy is NOAA Fisheries Stranding Coordinator for the Greater Atlantic Region. She's going to provide a brief summary of our news, and then we'll open for questions. We also have several other experts available to answer your questions today, including Deb Fauquier and Greg Silber of NOAA Fisheries Office of Protected Resources, and Blair Mays Guthrie, the Stranding Coordinator for the Southeast Region. The names and titles of our experts can be found on the media advisory that was sent to reporters. Contact me after the call if you'd like a copy or need more information. While we've seen other whale deaths in the mid-Atlantic in recent days and weeks, this declaration deals specifically with humpbacks over specific time frames and geographic range. We hope that this call will answer your questions about unusual mortality events and whale strandings in general. A reminder for this morning, this call is for working media only. If you are not a member of the press, you are welcome to listen, but please do not ask questions. This time is really reserved for reporters. With that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Mendy Guerin. Please go ahead, Mendy.
Thank you, Kate. Hello, everyone. Good morning. And as Kate mentioned, my name is Mendy Guerin, and I'm the Regional Stranding Coordinator for the Greater Atlantic Regional Fisheries Office. And we wanted to take this opportunity to provide some background information on the humpback whale mortalities that we have been monitoring over the last couple of years. So I'm going to jump right in with a brief summary, and then we will open it up for questions. So the Greater Atlantic Regional Fisheries Office and the Southeast Region Marine Mammal Response Programs have documented an annual increase in humpback whale mortality since the beginning of 2016 and has continued into 2017. The increased numbers of mortalities have triggered the declaration of an unusual mortality event, or a UME, for humpback whales along the Atlantic coast. Humpback whale mortalities total 41 dead whales from January 1, 2016 to the present, stranding from Maine through North Carolina. 20 of these whales have been examined, and 10 of them have evidence of vessel interactions. Whales tested to date have had no evidence of infectious disease, but have had low levels of biotoxin exposure, which can be a typical finding for a large whale species and is not considered to be unusual. An unusual mortality event is defined under the Marine Mammal Protection Act as a stranding that is unexpected, involves a significant die-off of any marine mammal population, and demands immediate response. The Working Group on Marine Mammal Unusual Mortality Events was formalized in 1992 when Congress established the Marine Mammal Health and Stranding Response Program. The Working Group determines when a UME is occurring based upon 7 criteria and helps direct the response and investigation. Once the working group determines a UME is occurring, NOAA Fisheries declares the UME and designates an on-site coordinator for the investigation. This begins the investigative process into the cause of the UME that can take months to years to complete. The UME working group determined that the recent humpback whale strandings met 2 of 7 criteria that warrant UME declaration. These mortalities are unusual because there is a marked increase in the magnitude or a marked change in the nature of mortality or strandings when compared with prior records, and that is criteria number 1. And because a temporal change in mortality or strandings is occurring, which is criteria number 2. And these criteria can be found on our website, which we can provide after the call if you're interested. Now that the UME has been declared, a formal investigation process will proceed. NOAA Fisheries will work with external experts to review data from the past 41 cases and to develop recommendations for future responses, sampling and data collection efforts, and data analyses. Humpback whale stranding events will continue to be closely monitored and prioritized for response efforts throughout Maine to North Carolina. Environmental and habitat conditions, including anthropogenic or human-caused threats, will also be monitored and assessed for risk factors that could impact humpback whales. So at this time, I'll turn it back over to Kate, and we can proceed with questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mundy. At this time, we'll open for reporter questions. Operator, can you explain the process, please, for asking a question?
Absolutely. We'll now begin the question and answer session. And if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll wait for the first question. Enable David, you may go ahead with your question.
Oh, great, thanks. So I wonder if you could provide data from previous years to give us some sort of sense of the how many mortalities how significant 41 mortalities is. And you said 10 of 20 had been found to have had been hit by boats. And can you give us an idea of the size of the humpback whale population and its condition? Is it still considered a threatened species? And what is the size of the population in the Atlantic?
Yep, this is Mandy Guerin, and I think there's a couple of parts to your question that I can answer, and I might turn it over to some other folks to elaborate. But in terms of historic numbers, our annual average for humpback whale strandings is around 8 animals per year. So in 2006, we ended the year with 21 mortalities, and we've already had 9 in the beginning of 2007.
2017, you mean?
Oh, yeah, sorry, 2017. And I guess I would turn it over. I don't know if one of my other colleagues would like to talk a little bit more about the population status.
Deb, do you want
to? Can you confirm those numbers? I'm sorry, those numbers weren't clear. You said 21 and 9, but I thought you said 41 originally.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just for the Greater Atlantic region. So the Greater Atlantic region runs from Maine through Virginia, so this does not include North Carolina animals. So, Blair, I don't know if you have additional information on those North Carolina animals.
Actually, this is Deborah Fokey. I can fill in. So, for the full range, Maine to North Carolina, the total number is 41. We had 26 that stranded in 2016, and we have 15 to date in 2017. The yearly average annual for that range from Maine to North Carolina is 14 per year. And then for the ship strikes, unfortunately, I just have the average for Maine to Virginia, but the average ship strike is 1.4 per year. And I'm sorry, for the populations, the current humpback whale population size along the North Atlantic Ocean, so these are animals that breed down in the West Indies in the Caribbean, is 10,400 to 10,752 animals. And this population of animals was just recently delisted. So these are no longer considered endangered species along the Atlantic coast, though they are still protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
And you said 10 of 20 that had been examined had been found to have been stricken by boats. And is that – how abnormal is that? What is the normal amount that have been found stricken by boats of the 14
The annual average for boat strikes is 1.4 animals per year, humpback whales per year.
And that's from Maine to North Carolina?
That's Maine to Virginia. Sorry, we did not get the North Carolina ship strike numbers, so we'll have to get those to you.
Okay. And it was 10 of 20, is that correct?
Yes. All right, let's move on to the next question. For reporters, I know there are a bunch of folks in the queue, so we're going to answer one at a time just have some patience. The next reporter is going to be, let's do the New York Times.
Daniel Wow.
Oh, sorry, NBC Boston.
All right, we have Daniel Wa. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, it's me. I was just wondering, I know you haven't started the investigation yet, but based on what you've reviewed in those 10 boat strikes, was there anything happening in those cases that was abnormal? I mean, what would account for such a surge in these boat strikes?
Greg, if you could speak to that, I think you're the best person to answer that question.
Right. Okay, this is Greg Silver. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Greg Silver, I'm with the Office of Protected Resources. I'm the coordinator of recovery activities for large whales. The answer is really unknown. There's probably no spike in vessel traffic in these areas, but the difficulty is the animals move around. So it's probably linked to prey sources. And so humpback whales follow where the prey is, and there may be aggregations in certain areas that bring them close to shipping routes.
This is kind of a follow-up to that, because when we talk about prey sources moving, a lot of times we hear about the water temperature rising, and that causes fish to move further or closer to the shore in some cases. So do you think that rising water temperatures plays into this at all?
It's really hard to know. It could be related to movements of other currents or upwelling or various factors that might influence the prey. Water temperature may be one of them.
Thank you. Let's call the next reporter. If we could bring up the New York Times, please.
And New York Times, your line is open. You may go ahead with a question.
Tatiana, we're not hearing anything on the line.
Tatiana, you may go ahead with your question.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So I was wondering, I know that there have been some studies that suggest that maybe marine noise is causing some of these strandings of whales in other parts of the world or in discrete events. Is there any indication that that's what's happening here, that the whales are becoming disoriented because of things like, shipping or marine noise that's disorienting them?
This is Greg Silver. Again, I don't know of any evidence of that. The oceans are pretty noisy places. There's a lot of vessels. There's a lot of industrial activity as well as a lot of natural noise. But I don't know of anything linking the production of noise or anthropogenic noise to these strandings or these ship strikes.
Okay. Thank you.
Operator, if we could open the line for NBC New York.
Yes.
And Brian Thompson, you may go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you very much. Gotham Whale, an organization in New York, believes, based on anecdotal evidence, that there have been more humpback whale sightings in the New York Bight than in the Cape Cod area off of Massachusetts in the last year or two, certainly more than we're used to in recent years. Is there any evidence that the whale population itself is a humpback is shifting because of prey opportunities or whatever that you folks have been able to measure?
This is Greg Silver again. I don't know the answer to that, but we can get back to you on that. There are surveys that are conducted, but I've not seen data that indicate a strong shift. It may be occurring, but I'd have to check with other people and get back to you on that.
All right. How would I be able to follow up on that?
You can reach out to me after the call, and I can connect you with the right experts. And if you have the media advisory, my contact information is there.
Okay. Who's this again? I'm sorry.
Kate Brogan. I'm the public affairs officer.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Operator, if you can open the line for Cape Cod Times, please.
All right. One moment. And Doug Frazier, your line is open.
Yeah, where can you locate the strandings a little better than between Maine and North Carolina? Is there any particular area where they're occurring more than, you know, than elsewhere? Where are the bulk of them really happening? And I had a quick follow-up, which is there any evidence that they've shifted into shipping lanes due to localized depletion from herring fleets?
Greg, can you speak to that question?
No, sorry. I'll defer to my colleagues on the specific locations. I think we have information by state, but I'll defer to my colleagues on that. I didn't completely hear the last question, something about the herring fleet. I'm not aware of any direct linkages between commercial fisheries and shipping and humpback whales, if that's the question.
That was part of the question. I'm kind of trying to figure out whether this is something that, you know, is located where we are naturally, which is Cape Cod and southern New England. There's no picture yet of where these strandings actually are happening. Other than along a big stretch of coast. So is there any way to say they're happening in Massachusetts or they're happening somewhere else?
So this is Deborah. We will have a map posted on the website. I just don't know if the link is live yet. But we do not have it broken down on the website beyond the map to by state, but we can get that information to Kate on the specific states and where the whales have been. But predominantly, it is like North Carolina through Massachusetts. Would that be correct, Mindy? I mean, we've had a couple in Maine, but there's not a huge amount of animals in Maine.
Yeah, so in 2006, it's actually been pretty evenly distributed throughout the region. We've had cases in Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina. The most cases were in New York, and they had four in 2006. Massachusetts, Delaware, and Virginia had three cases in 2006. And then in 2017, Virginia and North Carolina have had the majority of the strandings so far this year.
And she meant 2016, not 2006. Just to clarify. That's okay.
Okay, next up, we're going to open the line for Cape Cod Broadcasting News.
Good morning.
Matt, your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning. A bit of a follow-up to the number of dead, 41 and 10 with the vessel interactions, just for a clarification, there was no anything that would tie them all in medically or biologically in terms of after doing a necropsy. None of them had, did any of them have any type of similar disease or ailment at all? Was that examined?
This is Deborah Fauquier. So for the 20 animals that had, so those 20 animals had partial or complete necropsies or animal autopsies done, but we don't have all those results back, so that's part of the investigation to comb through those and make sure we're not missing something. But currently the few we have looked at, which is not a huge amount of those 20, we haven't found some, you know, an infectious disease that is common across all of them. But again, that's part of the investigation, so that could change.
And next we're going to have Bill with Bangor Daily News. If you could open that line, operator.
And Bill, your line is open.
Great, thank you. I just want to clarify one thing. When you say that 10 of the 20 examined animals had evidence of ship interactions, is that the same thing as that they had fatal ship strikes? Did they die as a result of being struck by ships, those 10 animals? Or is it just evidence that at one point in their lives they had been struck by ships?
So this is Deborah Fauquier again. They had evidence of blunt force trauma, so they got hit by something very large, or they had evidence of large propeller cuts, and those were all acute events, so they were the proximate cause of death. Thanks. We're going to go to Aaron now with News 12 Long Island.
And Aaron, your line is open.
Great, thank you. I just wanted to know, have you ever had to declare a UME event before on the East Coast for humpback whales? And if so, when was the last time that you did that?
So this is Deborah Fauquier again. Yes, we have. We have had three previous UMEs that have involved humpback whales. The last one was in 2006. And then we also had one that involved humpbacks as well as other large whales in 2005, and then one in 2003 that was predominantly humpback whales. And the cause of those three UMEs was undetermined, so we did not determine the cause.
Thanks. We're going to go, operator, now to Ian with Delaware State News.
And Ian, your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. To my knowledge, four of those 41 are Delawares, including the most recent one. Can you give me some idea as to what the presence of humpback whales is in the Delaware Bay? And is NOAA offering any suggestions for fishers or boaters to sort of, you know, make the water safer for them?
This is Greg Silber. So, again, Kate, we'll have to go back and look at the data, to look at the survey data, to look at the distribution. This is a distribution question, and we can get back on that. And then I'll turn it over to you in terms of, I think we probably have issued information about boater awareness and that sort of thing.
Mandy, do you want to speak to that?
Yes. We have been doing some regional education outreach to recreational boaters, specifically for the area and going into the summer events about responsible wildlife viewing and just presence of animals in coastal waters. And then we also do some similar outreach to commercial vessels.
And Mendy, what's the general guidance? Can you summarize?
Yeah, well, I think Greg can probably talk a little bit more about the ship speed reduction rules that are in place currently for commercial vessel traffic. But for recreational boaters, just basically reminding them to keep a close eye out for feeding whales. And again, we have safe viewing guidelines on our website that we provide folks, which includes staying 100 feet away from whales. And then also kind of approach guidelines, you know, if whales are feeding, what to look for and how you should maneuver your vessel around those animals. So that's all something that's posted on our website that we can provide links to.
That's great. Thank you, Mendy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the operator. Again, if you do have a question, please press star 1. And we'll go to the next question. Maria, your line is open.
Oh, hi. Sorry. As I wanted to know, if you've answered a lot of my questions so far, but maybe you could talk a bit about sort of what it means to have a UME like this for humpback whales, why it's so concerning, what impact it might have on the broader population.
So this is Deborah Fauquier. Anytime we have an unusual amount of strandings of any marine mammal, it's concerning. And a UME, just the designation, allows us to have a larger investigation, bring in experts, and try and determine what may be causing it, whether it's natural or human cause. So that's very important for us. In the sense of the population, I think it will depend how the investigation proceeds and if we end up having animals more locally affected or if it's really across the whole range. we'll just have to see how big a threat this will be to them.
Great. We're going to call Tatiana with New York Times. Operator, please.
Tatiana, your line is open.
Hi, sorry, I just had another question. I know you said that 10 of the 20 investigated were thought to have been killed by collisions with ships or propellers, but what about the other 10? Do you have a sense of what happened to them, or were you not able to determine the cause of death?
This is Deborah Fauquier again. The majority of the other ones, we did not have a significant finding or a cause of death for those animals, but again, many of the results and some the other tests are not completed, so that may change.
We're going to go to the Boston Globe. Michael, if you can open that line, operator.
And Michael, your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm sorry, I'm coming in a little late, but are you all going to release the exact coordinates of where all these whales were found? We're interested possibly for mapping purposes. I know you all are releasing a map, but I didn't know if you were going to release something more precise or how precise that was going to be.
This is Deborah Fauquier. We have not historically done that in unusual mortality event investigations, so we will have to discuss that with the investigative team and get back to you.
And Brian Thompson, your line is open.
Yes, thank you very much. Another question I had regarding this situation is I know that I believe that the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey had put in restrictions on ship speeds as they enter the Ambrose Channel into New York Harbor. Does NOAA have the authority to impose ship speeds where it may find evidence of high numbers of ship strikes within U.S. territorial waters?
This is Greg Silber. I can't speak directly to within the New York Harbor or the approaches. I believe there are restrictions for safety reasons and maneuvering within the harbor, but outside of the harbor, yes, NOAA Fisheries does have the authority and has instituted vessel speed restrictions in 20 nautical mile radii around key ports up and down the East Coast. This was done primarily for North Atlantic right whales because ship strikes was and continues to be a large issue for right whales, but they probably aid in reducing ship strikes to humpback whales as well. As long as the whales occur within in coastal waters and within those 20-mile pre-designated seasonal management areas. The restrictions were put in place in late 2008, and they require all vessels 65 feet and greater to go 10 knots or less. The agency does have the authority to do that under the Endangered Species Act and has implemented those in the past.
Thank you. Operator, we'll open the line for Dave Abel of the Boston Globe, please.
David Abel, your line is open.
Thank you. Just a follow-up. Is 41 in this region a record? And how long does this data go back to? And if it's not a record, can you give us some sense of how it ranks in terms of previous UMEs?
So this is Deborah Fauquier again. The averages we were using go back to 2000, so it was 2000 through 2015. I would have to get back to you on numbers for the highest we've had combined between the Garfo region and North Carolina, because I don't have those at my fingertips. So we can get that to Kate.
We're going to open the line for Doug Fraser next of Cod Times.
And Doug, your line is open.
So if we zero in on the ship strike problem here, how big a vessel does it take to cause the damage that you folks have seen in the 10 whales that you examined? And did any vessels call in the fact that they hit a whale?
I'll start on that, and then I'll turn it over to you, Deb, because I haven't seen the necropsy reports. A vessel of any size can harm a whale. In smaller vessels, they tend to be propeller strikes, and in larger vessels, they appear to be in the form of blunt trauma, hemorrhaging or broken bones. So it could be a vessel of any size, and there's no real relationship between size and the amount of damage or the frequency of injuries that we see in whales. So it could be a vessel of any size, and I don't know that much about the actual look at the biology of these strikes. Generally speaking, especially with large ships, most operators are not aware that they've struck a whale, and mostly that is a result of the size differential. Whales are large animals, but relative to a very, very large ship, they're still small. And with the momentum of a ship moving forward, most operators are completely unaware of it. So we usually don't get a lot of known strikes that reported to us from the operators themselves.
Thanks. Operator, go ahead.
And this is the operator. If you do have a question, please press star 1. And Bill, with the Bangor Daily News, you may go ahead with your question.
Another question I have. Of any of these 41 whales that were found, were any of them entangled in fishing gear? That's my first part of the question. And if so, were any of those entanglements deemed to be the cause of death? And actually, the second question I have is, how do these deaths, the 41 humpback whales, how does that compare to deaths among other species in the same time frame, like right whales, finback whales, other types of protected mammals?
Mindy, will you take this?
Yeah, so for one case back in 2016, we did have an animal that had some fishing gear present on it, but that animal was also involved in a vessel interaction, and so a complete necropsy was not performed on that case, and so it was hard to determine what the actual cause of death would have been. So that's the only animal that has had evidence of gear on the animal. And we've also been monitoring live humpback whale entanglements in our region, which are considered at a normal rate and what we typically see, and so we don't feel that there is any type of overlap or connection between the two events, the live entanglements versus the mortalities that we're seeing. But given the second part of your question, we do monitor all other species of large whale strandings. And in 2016 and so far in 2017, there has not been anything that has been unusual or an increase in numbers. In 2016, I do have the numbers listed out by species. If you're interested, we had 11 minke whale strandings. And again, this is just in the Greater Atlantic region, so Maine through Virginia. We had 3 right whale cases, 1 stay whale, and then 2 fin whales. And those are all within normal ranges for us.
Thanks.
Doug Frazier, you may go ahead with your question.
I wanted to just circle back to just the ship strike thing, because I don't think it got fully answered. Did anyone call in that they'd hit a whale? And typically, like if you look at right whales, for instance, you kind of have an idea of the size of the ship when you look at the if it's a propeller strike, for instance, they can tell how big the propeller is, et cetera, you know. I mean, is there anything? I mean, obviously somebody in a runabout is going to, like, know that they hit a whale. So I'm just trying to get an idea.
So I will let Mindy speak if we had any reports of people hitting whales, because I do not know this. This is Deborah Fauquier. We are still in process of looking at all those necropsy results to determine the size. So we have not determined the size of vessels for all of those cases, and I think in some cases we won't be able to. So we cannot answer that at this time. That will be part of the investigation. Reporters, I'm not seeing any more questions in the queue. If you have an additional question, please press star one. This is the best time to ask about the humpback unusual mortality event. A variety of experts are here to answer your questions, so star one if you have any follow-up. And it looks like John from the Wall Street Journal, operator, if you could open that line.
Hi, can you hear me?
Your line is open, John.
Hi, thank you. So I just wanted to put a fine point on the boat strike issue, just because the sort of normal range of strikes that you would expect in a year was for a slightly truncated region along the Atlantic coast. So just to be ultra clear about this, to have 10 fatal boat strikes within a 16-month span, is that unusually high?
Yes. That was Deb Fauquier. Yes. Okay, we will have Boston Globe. Dave Abel is up next, operator.
David Abel, your line is open.
Sorry, I was just wondering if you could spell your name, Greg, and tell us your title again. It's not in the press release.
Are you going to put that information out, Kate, or should I take people's time to do that now?
That's Greg. Go ahead.
Okay, Gregory Silber, S-I-L, B like boy, E-R. I'm with the Office of Protected Resources, National Marine Fisheries Service. I'm the coordinator of recovery activities for large whales.
And Aaron Stevenson.
Hi.
Hey, go ahead.
I just had a quick follow-up. I'm just looking at some of our numbers that we have, and it looks like three of the four strandings in 2016 were right off the coast of Long Island. So I just wanted to know if any teams would be coming here to, I don't know, look at water conditions, samples, anything like that.
This is Mindy Guerin, and I think that's all going to be part of figuring out our investigative process as we go forward. So like we mentioned earlier, we will be convening a group of experts to really look at this issue, review the data that we do have, and then form a plan for how we will proceed. And that may include looking at other environmental parameters, such as environmental conditions and so. So I think that that's going to be forthcoming.
Thanks. One more question from the Cape Cod Times operator.
And Doug Frazier, you may go ahead with your question.
So we all know that right whales, their feeding behavior makes them vulnerable to shift. But, you know, humpbacks are pretty used to being around vessels. And so is there any part of their behavior that makes them vulnerable? Is there any part or time in their life cycle or whatever that makes them vulnerable?
This is Greg Silber. I don't think we know enough about the behavior of these animals to say specifically that would make them more susceptible to a strike. Most large whales, when they're feeding, they're engaged in feeding and probably relatively oblivious to things around them, including large ships coming toward them. So you ask a very good question, but it's difficult to put to pinpoint a particular kind of behavior. You're right. Right whales tend to spend a fair amount of time at the surface, but humpback whales, when they're engaged in feeding or socializing or other kinds of behavior throughout the course of a dive or a series of dives, will bring them to the surface and will also make them vulnerable. But to put a finger directly on a particular kind of behavior or aspect of their life or a lifetime would be difficult.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any other questions. If you have any more questions, star one. I'm going to give it one more minute. And
while we're waiting for any additional follow-up questions using star one, I'm going to turn it over to Deb Fauquier just to close things up and tell us, you know, what folks can do to help.
We just wanted to follow up with some things that the public can do to help us, and one of the most important is just to report a stranded or dead large floating whale to NOAA, and we have two phone numbers from Maine to Virginia. The number is 866-755-6622, and for North Carolina, it's 877-433-8299. Additionally, the public can volunteer or support financially our various stranding networks from Maine to North Carolina, and they're listed in our website. They can also donate to our UME fund, which is a national fund that helps support the UME program. That money goes back out to the investigation and our stranding network partners. And then they can also follow the safe viewing guidelines that Mindy mentioned that are also on our website.
Just a few ways that the public can help us out as we continue investigating this UME and also help our protected marine mammals. I am not seeing any other reporter questions, so I think we're going to wrap it up for this morning. I want to thank the operator and also thank you to everyone who joined us on the call, including our experts. If you have any other questions, please, or would like photos or maps or latitude and longitude data, we do have that available for individual whales that have stranded. I know a reporter asked about that earlier. Please feel free to contact me directly. You can reach me at 301-427-8030 or at my email address. It's Catherine. Katherine@NOAA.gov. Again, I'm Kate Brogan, and I'm with NOAA Fisheries Public Affairs. Have a great morning, and please follow up if you need anything additional. Thank you.
And this concludes the call. Please disconnect your lines.